Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 30 minutes, maybe even longer, as we discuss today's NFL action, week number 10, the official start of the second half of the season. As we speak right now, you still have one game left in that 4 o'clock window. The Lions are just getting knocked around by the Chicago Bears, 37-13. Lions just scored a meaningless touchdown. Six turnovers for the Lions in this game. Bears didn't even need Matt Forte to go off, as he only had about 64, 65 yards rushing. But, yeah, Devin Hester, a punt return for a touchdown. You had two pick sixes by the Bear defense. The Chicago Bears right now are absolutely rolling. They're going to go to 5-3. When this game is over, 6-3. When this game is done, Lions will fall to 6-3 on the season, and this basically eliminates any chance that the Lions have in terms of winning the division. They will be three games in a loss column behind the Green Bay Packers, depending on what happens Monday night. We certainly would expect Green Bay to take out Minnesota in Lambeau Field. So they do have now, as this game keeps getting uglier and uglier. I mean, officials have lost complete control of this game as far as what has been going on. You already had a fight breakout. DJ Moore got thrown out. You've had a couple of cheap shots on Jay Cutler over the course of this game, one by Nick Fairley. You had Sue ripping off his helmet. So this game has certainly gotten out of control between these two teams. But the bottom line is the Chicago Bears have just kicked the Lions, all up and down the field. Julius Peppers has been dominant. And this is Bear football. I mean, this is what the Bears do. The Bears, when they're good, they run the ball, they dominate defensively, get great special teams. This is their formula. And they're going to be a very dangerous team moving forward down here, coming down the stretch. They're playing great football right now. Last week everybody was talking about what was wrong with Philadelphia, and we know Philadelphia is just not even good this year. But listen, it's all about what's right with the Chicago Bears right now. So this is an extremely impressive victory by them, 37-13. Basically held Calvin Johnson in check. I know he had one catch for 40 yards, but he had two or three catches, kept him out of the end zone, which if you could do, you can keep Calvin Johnson out of the end zone. I don't care how many yards he gets, you have absolutely done your job. As far as the other late games that just completed, that you had a great game down San Francisco. Giants fall to San Francisco 27-20. Eli Manning had a couple of interceptions. The Giants, a big win for the 49ers. A lot of people have been wondering, are they for real? I still don't think they're a championship caliber team, but they are, they're going to the playoffs. We know that. How far can they go? It basically depends on the matchup. Regardless of that impressive win, Alex Smith goes to 242 yards passing, a touchdown, and an interception. Eli had two interceptions, and on the last drive, could not convert a fourth and two as it got batted down. Giants, early in that drive, had converted two other fourth downs to keep the drive alive. So, not a bad loss for the Giants. I mean, listen, you come off a win versus New England. You're playing one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Great win for San Francisco, though, because you had Frank Gore was an absolute non-factor in this game. He had nursing that ankle injury, also had a knee injury. Had two carries for 9 yards, something like that. Kendall Hunter had a touchdown run. Vernon Davis had a touchdown reception. This game was 13-12 before it was broken open, with San Francisco getting 15 straight points. With the Vernon Davis touchdown. Then you also had Kendall Hunter touchdown. So good win for the 49ers. They improved to 8-1 on the season. Giants fall to 6-3, still in control of the NFC East, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's still their division to lose despite their rough schedule. When we return, another embarrassing loss for the former leaders of the AFC North. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Program. We'll be right back.
It's the center of the earth, in the middle of the universe. Then why is this verse coming 6 times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much while I write them like such words. Amongst the beings controlled by the screen. What does it all mean, all this I'm seeing? Human beings screaming vocal javelin. Line of a local unraveling. My wandering got my wondering. With crisis and all this crisis. Can't you say never knew what nice is? Check the papers, well I've been on ice. One in your eye can see and this can hear. Year by year all the sense disappears. Nonsense perseveres, prayers linked with fear everywhere. Two triple M, I feel good, it might sound a little something. But damn the game, if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game? And like, behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game. They got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something. But the game, if it ain't saying nothing.
Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. As 36 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour, as we discuss today's action of Week 10 of the NFL season, 347-215-6180 is your call number. As always, you can follow me on twitter.com/WilliamGerald. Also, hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. Couple of major announcements coming up before the program's out, so stay tuned for that. And some good news for my listening audience that will certainly be coming up. Baltimore falls to the Seahawks 22-17. A just embarrassing loss for the Ravens. And this is why I can't pick the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. This is the second time the Ravens have had one of these losses where you just say, what? Huh? Like, you just shake your head. I mean, you know, the Ravens beat Pittsburgh, okay? Really, this is the third loss. This is the third loss they've had. I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. When they beat Pittsburgh, came back, and lost to Tennessee, okay? Then they had that disaster on Monday night a couple weeks back against Jacksonville. Come off another big Pittsburgh win in Pittsburgh last week. Everybody's crowned them, you know, the usual talk, AFC's best team, Super Bowl contender, blah 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 blah, and they go to Seattle and lose 22-17 to, you know, again, Seattle is one of the worst teams in the AFC. There's just no excuse for that, none. They never got the running game going. You know, they, again, count on Joe Flacco to just, you know, single-handedly win them games. And let's be honest. Listen, he played great against Pittsburgh, had a drive that, you know, had a, you know, a season-defining drive against late in that game with the 92-yard drive to win the game against Pittsburgh. But, you know, you have Ray Rice on your team. So again, I don't know what happens after these wins that Baltimore has, and why they, you know, they basically play down to the competition. And frankly, it is inexcusable. You know, I say this, and I said it, you know, about the Saints a couple of weeks back when they lost to the Rams. Championship teams don't lose those types of games. Period. They don't. You want to win a Super Bowl, you take care of business against teams that you're supposed to just frankly just walk all over. And Seattle is that team. Any team with Tavares Jackson being their quarterback, you are supposed to walk, run, stomp all over. I don't care where the game's at. I don't care about the West Coast. Yeah, you really have no excuse because, listen, you played a Sunday night game. Yes, you had to fly across country, but it was a late kickoff. It was a 1 o'clock kickoff. So, you know, it's no, there's no excuse for Baltimore to lose that game. And again, trying to get home, you know, home field. You know, you don't want to play all your games on the road. You want to get at least one home game during the playoffs. And they now fall behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, who defeat Cincinnati 24-17. Pittsburgh goes to 7-3 on the season. Cincinnati falls to 6-3. Andy Dalton had a couple of touchdown passes, but also had a couple of key interceptions. The last one being to William Gay, who basically sealed the deal. Ben Roethlisberger goes for 245 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Good game, you know, big win for Pittsburgh to bounce back off that win, off that tough loss to Baltimore last week. So again, they improved to 7-3. They have a bye next week. The next time these teams meet will be at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati, listen, Cincinnati played well. I mean, they did some nice things, but not able to get the running game going, which was a key in this victory. You know, Andy Dalton just, you know, made one too many mistakes for the first-year starter. He did have a 36-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green. That was A.J. Green's only catch. And, again, give Pittsburgh credit, though. I mean, that is a way to – see, that's the difference between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. You know, Pittsburgh bounces back from a bad loss. Baltimore can't handle prosperity. And I don't care. I don't care the fact that Baltimore swept Pittsburgh. I still trust Pittsburgh more in the playoffs than I would Baltimore, because they just have a maturity about that just Baltimore just doesn't have. The Chicago game, Detroit game just concluded 37-13. Impressive win for the Bears as they go to 6-3 on the season. Again, there are some teams that are on the rise here coming down the stretch. I'll mention one of them that's in the AFC that I think has a legit chance to go to the Super Bowl. But the Bears right now have hit their stride, playing great football, coming off that Monday night win, short week, coming off the Monday night win on the road against Philadelphia. You know, again, running the football, playing great defense, great special teams. That will win you a lot of games in this league. Miami over Washington, 20-9. Not much to talk about as far as this game goes. The Dolphins improved to 2-7, if you want to call that improvement. And the Redskins fall to 3-6. Rex Grossman does what Rex Grossman does. That's turnover the football, had two interceptions. Reggie Bush had two touchdown runs, one of them 18 yards. Redskins, of course, had could not do anything in the red zone. Also had a couple of missed field goals from Graham Gano. Listen, Rex Grossman is who he is. I mean, all throughout the ball, you know, look how well he's throwing the ball. Dang, John Beck couldn't throw a ball like that. I mean, basically comparing Grossman to Beck, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, and there's been a lot of talk, a lot of, you know, back and forth between Beck and Grossman. That's when you are arguing between debate between those two players, that's a major problem that your franchise has. It doesn't matter who plays quarterback between those two for the Washington Redskins. It's still going to amount to losses, and it's still going to amount to no offense. Redskins did not get in the end zone, okay? For all the throws that Rex Grossman made, for all the chances that he took down the field, he scored 9 points. So I don't want to hear anything about Grossman this, Grossman that. Please, give me a break here. Dolphins can, again, continue to play hard. They get, again, their second win on the season. One bites off of the Redskins. Leonard Hankerson, the rookie wide receiver out of Miami, 8 catches, 106 yards. He played well despite the loss for the Washington Redskins. When we return, I will tell you the team that you need to be paying attention to. We'll talk about that, and we'll also have the game of the day as well. That's coming up in much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. 45 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show on this 13th of November 2011. Philadelphia falls to Arizona 21-17. Michael Vick was awful in this game, 16-34, 128, three interceptions, did have eight carries for 79 yards. This has been the story of the Eagles season. They start off really well, but maybe not in this game, as you know, neither team started off that well, but they just can't finish. Just saw a stat that the Eagles have been outscored now in the fourth quarter of the season, 74-27. That's remarkable. That's unbelievable. 74-27. And it continued through in this game as the Cardinals outscored the Eagles 14-3. You have John Skelton, throwing for 300 yards, three touchdowns. Larry Fitzgerald had a big day, 146 yards, two touchdowns. Early Doucette gets the game-winning touchdown reception. This is the amazing thing about the Eagles. The Eagles could have, they have some injuries. DeSean Jackson was declared inactive because he missed a team meeting, which to me is just insane. Benching for a quarter, benching for a couple series, you can't take that kind of guy. You can't take that kind of weapon out of the game, suspended for the game for missing a team meeting. Yeah, are you kidding me? So he's out the game. Macklin gets knocked around. He leaves the game, comes back, but he was never the same. Excuse me. So you're down to basically your third, fourth, and fifth receivers, and LeSean McCoy gets a grand total of how many carries? 14. 14 carries. And, of course, in those 14 carries, he had 81 yards rushing and a touchdown. But that's been the story of the Eagles. They are the definition of can't get right. And, they turn over the ball at inopportune times. The play calling is spotty, to say the least. And, it's one of those seasons. Right now, the Eagles are finished. I thought they were done. I thought they were done after the Monday night loss to the Bears, to be honest with you. But now, this just confirms it, that you can just basically stick a fork in them, and they can all, you're already looking towards the offseason if you're an Eagle fan. They're 3-6, three games behind the Giants in that division. They're not catching any. Forget about the playoffs. They're not, that's a pipe dream at this point. How this season plays, it's just a matter of will Andy Reid survive the rest of the season? Not the rest of the season, but, into 2012, 2013, and into the future. And now you have to wonder, and I was thinking about it over the course of the game as I'm watching them play. Now you have to wonder about Michael Vick moving forward. Now, you gave this guy $100 million, about $30 million guaranteed. Is he your quarterback of the future? Is he your quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years? I would have some – Vick has not played well this year. Through all the stuff with the play calling, through all the stuff with the lack of, not using McCoy at certain times that I think they should use him, through all that, so the defense being inconsistent, Michael Vick has not played well. So Eagles fall to 3-6 on the season. Just a dreadful loss to the Arizona Cardinals. There's just no excuse for that kind of loss, but they are in terrible shape right now, and they look just awful, to say the least. Can't imagine what is going on down in Philadelphia. Denver over Kansas City 17-10. Denver, Tim Tebow, again, don't be fooled. Listen, I understand that he's 3-1. I understand that he's 3-1. But 2 for 8, 69 yards passing, a touchdown, did have 9 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown run. Tebow's good for fantasy stats. I looked at his fantasy stats, a couple of days ago. I had somebody else in my league picked him up. What in the world is he doing? And Tebow, he'll get you 15 to 20. He's been getting you 15 to 20 points fantasy-wise. But, again, I don't gauge the 3-1 record that he has right now is very deceiving. Again, 2 for 8. That just tells you how much confidence they have in him, the fact that he only throws 8 times. The three story of this game is Kansas City and how bad they can be when they lose games. Matt Castle goes 13-28, 93 yards and a touchdown. Just a bad performance out of Kansas City. What you know, Denver is right in the middle of that race for the AFC West champion title. That is a bad division right now. You have Chargers 4-5, Denver 4-5, Kansas City drops to 4-5. The Raiders are 5-4, so everybody's in it. Everybody's in it. So we'll see how that plays out. Still to come on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show, we'll talk about the demolition in Big D. And also, again, we're going to talk about the team to watch out for in the AFC. That's coming up, and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. I'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. Surreal Quinn, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Great performance by the Cowboys today, 44-7 over the Buffalo Bills, who are quickly fading as they have now lost back-to-back games, losing to the Jets last week and now just getting destroyed by the Cowboys, 44-7. The Cowboy defense had a big day. Just a perfect performance for the Cowboys. I mean, Tony Romo, 23-26, 273 touchdowns, no picks. DeMarco Murray, 135 yards rushing and a touchdown. Ryan Fitzpatrick, again, one touchdown, three interceptions, did not have his best day. Fred Jackson did go over 100 yards, but just wasn't enough. Buffalo has a hard time just moving the ball when Fred Jackson is not doing everything. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they really don't have a vertical passing game. It's starting to rear its ugly head. Teams are, you know, just daring Fred Jackson to beat him by himself, and it's not enough. But again, Buffalo's defense also is being exposed as well. You know, listen, Buffalo, both teams are at 5-4. Dallas, you know, this is what Dallas does. Dallas will tease you with a quality performance and then come up, you know, come the following week and stink up the joint. So, wow, that's big news. As just over the wire, Leon Hall, the Bengals cornerback, has a torn Achilles, so he's done for the season. That is a big loss for Cincinnati. I mean, remember, they lost Joseph to free agency to Houston over the summer, and now, I mean, that's a big loss. I mean, man, talk about losing twice. But Dallas, again, teases you with those performances. You know, they play well against New England, and then they can certainly stink up a joint. That they're still right in the hunt for the NFC East. I mean, 5-4, they're now in sole possession of second place. 5-4 as the Redskins, you know, you have the Redskins and the Eagles at 3-6. Dallas one game behind the New York Giants, who fell today to San Francisco. So they're right in the thick of things. And then certainly they will travel to the nation's capital next week and face the hapless Washington Redskins. Again, that'd be a game. Again, you know, you might think that's an automatic win for Dallas, but again, the way Dallas plays, don't be surprised to see the Redskins win that game. It's a rivalry game. Dallas is one of these teams that certainly one of the more inconsistent teams in the NFL. So, but they get a great win over the Buffalo Bills, who are just falling fast in the AFC East. Tennessee over Carolina, 30-3. Welcome to the 2011 NFL season, Chris Johnson. Training camp is over. You know, he finally dusted off the cobwebs, and he joins the rest of the NFL as he had 27 carries for 130 yards and a touchdown. probably Cam Newton's, you know, probably his worst day as far as production standpoint, not a production standpoint, but he was not a factor at all in this game. 23 for 40, 212, one interception. Did have 7 rushes for 55 yards, but his presence was not felt at all over the course of this game. So Tennessee able to bounce back and get a quality win, get a pretty good win over a Carolina team, 30-3. When we return, we will talk about the Iowa finally. Other scores: Jacksonville over Indianapolis 17-3, St. Louis over Cleveland 13-12. Those certainly scores that don't need any descriptions. If you were a fan and watching those games, you know, God bless you, because I mean those four teams are just awful. But when we return, we'll talk about a team that is not awful, a team that, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the teams to watch in the AFC and in the NFL, for that matter. We'll do that in about 45 seconds. We'll be right back. To this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. We're going to go over this evening. I know you see we only have about a minute and 50 left, but we will go do some overtime. And so if you want to stay with us, you certainly are welcome to log back in to my Blog Talk Radio audience at blogtalkradio.com/CyrilQuinn. So we're going to do some overtime today. Again, just one overtime game today, and we're going to get right to that particular game, the game of the day as far as I'm concerned. Atlanta falling to New Orleans 26-23 in overtime, and we're going to just get right to it. 4th and inches at their own 30-yard line in overtime, Mike Smith decides to go for it. Again, they're at their own 30. And he goes for it on a 4th and inches. Michael Turner gets stuffed for a loss of, he may have lost a yard, lost maybe a yard or at least maybe a couple of inches, at least a yard. And that was a game. I mean, New Orleans, a couple of plays, set up the game winning field goal, and that was it. You just wonder about what's going on in these coaches' heads when they decide to make these calls. You know, punt the football, Mike. That didn't make any sense. I would love to hear what Smith had to say after the game in terms of why he chose to go for it at that particular time. It just doesn't make any sense. I can't figure it out. Breeze goes 30 for 43, 322, 2 touchdowns. This is when Atlanta gets himself in trouble. Matt Ryan throws the ball 52 times. It's not going to win. It's not how you're going to win if you're Atlanta Falcons. I still say to this day, the best half of football that I've seen against the Green Bay Packers opponent was the Atlanta Falcons. First half, about 6-7 weeks ago, like in early October, ran the ball, rushed the passer, and made Green Bay look human for a half. Again, Turner 22 rushes for 96 yards. He should have had 30 rushes. Matt Ryan is not going to outplay Drew Brees. It's not going to happen. Big win for the Saints. They go to 7-3 on the year. Atlanta falls to 5-4. They take full control of that division as you had Atlanta losing, and you also had the next team that we're about to talk about as well losing. So they are in absolute the driver's seat to win that division. Harry Douglas had a big day, 8 catches, 133 yards. Julio Jones left this game with a hamstring. He tweaked his hamstring that has been bothering him, you know, for the last few weeks now. Very interesting scene with Sean Payton returning to the sidelines on crutches. Found that very intriguing. As you know, Saints have been struggling with him up in the booth for the past couple of weeks. So Payton just, you know, pulling out all the stops. And he was on crutches on the sidelines. The team that everybody should be watching right now, especially if you're in the AFC, the Houston Texans with a dominant 37-9 performance over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. Houston improves to their franchise best 7-3, the best front starting franchise 67-3 on the season. Tampa Bay falls to 4-5, and again, help, you know, they've helped putting New Orleans, you know, basically again in the driver's seat in that particular, in the NFC South. This is what you love about Houston this year. They are, you know, Shab is having a very good year, but and it had, you know, has a game where he goes 11-15, 242, 2 touchdowns. They're playing to their strengths, and that's running the football. 185 yards rushing. Arian Foster, if not for Aaron Rodgers, Arian Foster would be my MVP. That's all there is to it. I mean, he's been that great. 17-84 in terms of rushing and a touchdown. 4 catches, 102 yards and a touchdown in terms of receiving. He has been all world this year. Should be on, absolutely should be first team all pro. He's been that good. But the story is the Houston defense. Without Mario Williams, they have just suffocated teams over the past 3 or 4 games. They forced Josh Freeman to 3 interceptions, 15-35, 170. Tampa Bay had no running game to speak of. And again, Houston just playing great football right now. And a team, you know, in an AFC that where nobody's pulling away, where everybody, I could poke holes in all of these teams, whether it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, New England, the Jets. Nobody's talking about, for some reason, nobody's talking about the Texans. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to start talking about the Texans because they are absolutely the real deal and have a legit chance to go to the Super Bowl. Imagine, they're doing all this, right? Keep in mind, folks, they're doing all this without Andre Johnson, who I would assume will be back. The Texans have a bye next week. Johnson, I would assume he will be back following the bye week in week 12. So, you know, kudos to the Texans playing great football right now. They have, you know, the best 1-2 combination in terms of in the backfield in Foster and Ben Tate. And just again, just playing awesome football right now, certainly a team to watch. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. I will see you next time on the Saturday morning wake-up call. Enjoy your week. So long, and have a good evening. Mm-hmm.